Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You are listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. It's a Monday around 5 p.m. on the eastern side. We are here every Monday with a great friend of ours. His name is Irvin Harris. Now, he's also a basketball coach, but he's a really good guy. And for those people unfamiliar with my voice, my name is Peter Mingles. We started this a long time ago as far as Building Fortunes Radio, but I knew Irvin Harris even way before then. He was a customer of ours, super duper nice guy. He's got a great wife. Plug for Candy, great wife. And we started to do some radio shows when he was building a home-based business. And all of that included very long conversations that I welcomed, everything from politics to life in general to health and everything. And we just became friends. So I would call him up from time to time. And we would have hours-long conversation, and I just said, you know, Irvin, you know, the only one thing wrong about this is we did this alone. We really should have this conversation somewhere else. So when we started to do some things, writing a book on our Keep It Simple Circle, KISC we call it, KISC is a Keep It Simple Circle, I said, you know, Irvin, you're a basketball coach. I know that there's probably a Keep It Simple Circle for basketball, whether you're a coach or whether you're a player, whether you're athletic director, you know, let's talk about these sort of things. So let's start a radio show and see where this goes, because you're a good guy. So I owned Peter.news, but he decided to say, oh, I think I'm going to go buy basketballcoach.news. Now, just so you know, buying a domain name is one thing, putting it up on another, putting something on is another. He's been so busy. He's got the domain name, which will eventually put something on, but that doesn't matter. We're doing radio shows anyway. So we do the radio shows, and we talk a lot about basketball and athletics, and sometimes we do the radio shows ourselves. Every once in a while, we'll have some other special guest hosts. Today, we have a really great guest host. You want to listen to this one. But we've had Mel Jones, who jumps in every once in a while as well. He's a good guy. We've had Budo. We've had Pee Wee Harrison as well. Pee was one of the original Globetrotters. So we've had a lot of really great people here. We celebrated the Hall of Fame for Jacquovius, JQ for short, just recently as well. And I just love doing this show because I get a chance to, again, talk to and listen to a great friend. His name is Coach Irvin Harris. So Coach Irvin, thanks for doing your radio show.
Peter, thank you very much for that wonderful introduction. And, you know, there's always a reason for everything, Peter. The basketballcoach.news, that is going to be a really great site when information starts getting populated on that. You know, in particular, one of the reasons why it's going to be great is because of not just these shows that we have, but the purposes of these shows. And one of the reasons why these are being done. And one thing that I've learned and found out throughout the years, there's always a right time for everything, Peter. And today, we're going to have a really great show with some really good information. The last few shows were wonderful. You know, you mentioned the young man that was inducted into the USCAA Hall of Fame from his efforts. I originally spoke with him December 2nd of 2016, and he had had experience at a college that he attended right out of high school at that time period, and things did not work out for him at that college. He was at an NCAA Division II school down in Georgia. He was a pretty great athlete, or decent athlete, right out of high school, and for whatever reason, things just didn't work out right for him, and he was ready to give up, Peter. And you know from the show that we did, was a special show we did on May 31st of 2025. It was the day before he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. I decided to attend that. that was at a school that I previously worked at. And here's a gentleman that was a three-time All-American, got some really great accolades once he graduated. But the fact that he was three-time All-American at the school and he had given up on basketball. And I called him December 2nd because one of the things that I believe in is I believe in maintaining relationships with people. And you know the story, Peter. You know, we're not going to rehash or go into that on this show. And anybody that doesn't know about that, that really wound up being a very, very special show. Would you agree with that, Peter, especially with the call that was made to Mel Jones, who was in the middle of Mount St. Helens, where there's absolutely no signal, zero signal to get in. And it was really wonderful of you, Peter, to have that special show on Saturday, May 31st. I really didn't have plans on attending the event because the school that I was at or previously was at, they didn't tell me, didn't even let me know. It was, you know, here's a young man that had a whole lot of success. And I said, hey, I'm showing up. But Peter, I really appreciate you opening up the lines and putting that show out there. His auntie appreciated it. A lot of the people that care about him really appreciated it, and everything really went very well, Peter. So we had that.
Yeah, it's a great show. I think all the shows we do have really great meaning to a lot of different people from a lot of different angles, and today's going to be one of those for sure. Good stuff.
Yes, it will be. And then we were blessed enough the next day, my brother, who's a chief operating officer at a private school in Dallas, Texas, you know, he surprised me, Peter. He did a really, really good job, you know, in a very nice show.
He's a smart dude. He's a smart dude. He is. Man. That was great.
Yes.
Yeah. And never underestimate your little brother. He was good.
You know what, Peter? I took the clothes off my back, Peter. I drove him to school at Iowa State. And he mentioned that in the show, and he told me how much he appreciated everything that I did for him. But you know what? You do that for family. And in our life, Peter, just like you're doing the show, you did that show on Saturday, and we got Michael Mason here who has made a difference in a lot of people's lives in the work that he's done. And he's very successful himself, but life, you know, we're not going to get into all the challenges that we face in our life because, hey, we're human. Everybody faces challenges. And that's one of the reasons why I like doing these shows is because we've talked about value for others, Peter, for decades. Your business brings value to others just by having and providing this platform. And, you know, without continuing to talk about the previous shows, as well as the information that was presented, the success, you know, the listeners, they can always go back and listen to those previous shows. And today, I think it's very important to put out there what the importance of value is and the purpose of it. And just to give the listeners a definition of what value is and the purpose of it, the value is actually that help to identify and emphasize things that are important, things that are beneficial or meaningful, you know, in a given context. Now, the context here has to deal with basketball and basketball news. And the basketball news that we have to present to our audience of people listening, parents, students, athletic directors, coaches, it's about to help people to be able to guide decision-making and to prioritize different actions and to help to mold, build, shape others' perceptions and to highlight different qualities or principles, you know, or outcomes that are going to be the most significant for the people that we service. We provide value as coaches. You know, people talk about recruiting. I don't look at it as recruiting, Peter. or Michael. I look at it as providing a service and value to other people, because what value is going to do when it serves as that measure of worth or importance, what it does is it helps others and allows them, you know, individuals, the organizations, or societies to align their goals and their behaviors with what they consider to be most beneficial or desirable. It also provides that direction, it motivates behavior, and fosters that sense of purpose by clarifying what is truly valuable in life, work, and even relationships. And with that being stated and said, I have a whole lot more information that we can talk about in reference to the value, to molding the importance of it. Because, again, Peter, those are things that have been talked about on this show in the past, even before the basketball news came, an importance to what we're doing here. So what I would like to do to continue this conversation, I would first like to introduce our guest, who's back for a second time. His name is Michael Mason, and he is an athletic director. He is a coach. He's been a mentor. He was doing some mentorship today before he jumped on the phone. I believe he's in his car right now heading home. I don't know how far his drive is, but he's a very, very busy person, and he's has some value to present to the listening audience. And Peter, I'm sure you're going to be able to provide some value as well and with any input that you have. But at this point in time, without further ado, I would like to welcome Director Michael Mason back to the show. And Michael, there you go. Floor is yours right now at this moment. You're welcome.
Yeah. All right. Hello, gentlemen. How you guys doing? Everybody listening. Great to be back and talking to these gentlemen. Since I believe it was April or May, I guess end of April, first of May. Oh, no, it wasn't May. Yeah, end of April that I did, somewhere in that line that I first did the first call and, you know, kind of introducing everything that I was doing at building at the new school. And, you know, Irvin and I have talked several times. Actually, you'll be actually working the program there in New Hampshire. So yeah, when he had said something about you know, continuing conversations and integrating a lot of the stuff we've known.
Okay. It sounds like your signal kind of broke up there a little bit. It sounded like that.
Okay, so hold on a second.
Go ahead.
Hello? Can you hear me okay?
Yep, we can now. Yeah, you broke up for just a little bit, so
yeah, a little dead spot there. Yeah, so I was just saying this, and, you know, to go right along with what Irvin was talking about with regard to value and then how that kind of relates. He had mentioned basketball. With what we're doing at the, at, you know, the boarding / prep school level, it's the same thing that people deal with in their home-based businesses or any business for that matter. Or any services, any service provider is, yeah, based off of value, actual value as well as perceived value. And a lot of times people have a perception issue, but, you know, perception is 100% reality. And since everybody's reality is different and everybody's perception is different, I guess you can almost say reality really doesn't exist because it's constantly evolving with the person that you're talking to. But with regard to value from a basketball standpoint and relating to things that are prep schools, junior colleges, the three topics in the world today, in the basketball world, are, and when it comes to value and development, is player development, college recruiting, and name, image, and likeness. Okay, NIL for short. And very hot topics that affects any sports fan, especially at the college level, because the landscape of college athletics and even now high school athletics is changing due to the business aspects of the game. So it's almost as if amateurism is no longer is being put in question through NCAA rules, through COVID. It kind of, kind of put a keg bomb or ignited a lot of the stuff that was happening behind the scenes and kind of brought it to the forefront. So, when it comes to value in the athletics world, with parents and kids and college coaches and high schools, whatever the case may be, it's very important that you look at the equation in multiple parts. How can this service provider help me? Why are they even trying to help me? When can they help me? What's the timeline available to help me? And then where is this help going to take place? A lot of different moving parts that kind of lead to, hopefully to the same end game.
Hey, can I just jump in for a second, Michael? There might be some people listening in that are a little bit behind the times, me being first online. I'll explain.
Okay.
I'm going to be 63. Can't believe that. But when my kids were growing up, they weren't interested in sports. They were interested in the band. One of my sons was interested in the band. My daughter was interested in the band. So sports, I went to the football game to see the band, not the football game. When I was in high school or college, which was a long time ago, there was like you go to college and you're not paid, so you figure it out through either scholarships or either scholarships for academics or scholarships for sports. But there was no money for the students.
Right.
Yeah. So my kids are grown. I haven't even worried about that. My granddaughter's not in school yet. College yet. So I'm totally oblivious to what changed in the last few years relative to college athletes and money. Because if you ask me, there's no money. Like you go to school, you're going to be getting an academic scholarship. So that's where the money comes from. But they don't give it to you. That just pays your bill. The world has changed in the last few years where now there's money in college.
Money.
Like you can become rich by being a college student. So I'm first online for being not educated about that. So when you're talking about value, I'm not even thinking about that. That's even a question. I'm thinking about value of the school, value of the education, value of not having a student loan. I'm not even with you. I don't even know what you're talking about. So can you bring us up to speed on what you do?
All right. Okay. Can I
make a statement real quick? Is that the thing? Okay. Now, don't lose your thought, Michael. And Peter, I'm glad that you asked the question that you asked and you went in that direction because I know a lot about Michael's past and his experience and the things that he does and what he brings to the table. And as far as mine, over the past 15 years, I've actually had the privilege of coaching at the college level at NCAA, a school, a D2 school, which offered scholarships, and including another school in New Hampshire that was connected with the USCAA. And I've changed it, my thought process, from recruiting. I call it a service. And whenever you have a service of value, and Peter, you talked about the money and you said, well, the value is the colleges that are getting the money and so on and so forth. And just today, both of you guys, my mother, I have another brother that works at in a school district in Nebraska, and he called me and he had a couple of athletes on the phone that wanted to ask a question. And the question was around the area of them getting recognized and noticed by colleges. They obviously played AAU, and the concepts that they had were just, I play at AAU, I go out and play, and somebody's going to see me, somebody's going to find me. And that's really not the case. And what I've identified from my 15 years of experience is there's service, Peter. And again, this had to do with the question that you asked or the area that you're in. And if people don't understand the value for example, of attending a post-grad or a prep school for aspiring college athletes, there are a lot of professional basketball players that have benefited by attending post-grad or prep schools because those opportunities can become game changers. They help them to elevate their basketball game, and what it does is they get an opportunity to improve their academics and position themselves for that success at the next level. And the value of that decision, it actually lies in the opportunity to help that aspiring, hopefully they want to make it to the pros, but it helps those athletes to be able to boost their grades. They're able to strengthen their academic credentials, and by them understanding the value that they get out of attending, let's say, a post-grad school, what that does is I will let, you know, Michael answer your questions in reference to the couple of years and all the moving pieces that have to deal with people deciding to go ahead and post-grad or go to a post-grad institution. The bottom line is it not only helps them to improve their academics, but it also helps them to develop that talent to help them to potentially get to a better place, to a higher level than they normally would be. Say, for example, if they attended a junior college, or even if they, I mean, the goal is to actually get to the best school you possibly can get to. But, man, the competition out there, it's tough. And
I'll let Michael add to that. But the reality is I'm going to say this being realistic and not necessarily still staying controversial. All that sounds great. But guess what? If you're a better marketer than the next guy, because you can put yourself in front of somebody else faster than anybody else, your marketing budget's probably better than your academic schedule. So, or who's marketing for you is probably better, because college sports to me, based on my interpretation, is more about marketing now as what you need the performance. That's a given. So you need the performance. You better be good, but you also better be good at putting yourself out there, which adds to the value of maybe some of the services. But Michael, why don't you complete some of our sentences?
Okay. With regard to back to the original thing, Peter, about the, how do we get here? And then I'll circle back to where Irv was going with options, basic options that athletes have to get into that conversation that you're talking about when it comes to how things change. As you know, as you were saying that you know, people were either going to school for academics or they were going to school for athletics. We're going to school for academics, period. But One obtained those scholarships either high academics, high athletic ability with academics to go along with it. But then I think when we first started noticing was back in the 90s after UCLA won a national championship in the, I think, 93, 94. And the lawsuit was just actually settled. So somebody could actually go in and see the NCAA. Lawsuit of upwards of $2.8 billion that the NCAA has to pay out to athletes who were in college.
And that's from, just new. Right? I mean, this just happened.
Yes, is this? No, yeah. This one literally 72 hours ago, I believe, is when it was the judge actually approved the first set of payments, and that stemmed off of the NIL, the acronym Name, Image, and Likeness. So when you think about all the video games that parents were buying, like Madden or NCAA football, NCAA basketball, 2K25, it was all these different video games or uniforms and jersey sales and shoes and hats and everything that a Michigan, Ohio State, UCLA, USC, any college that was selling merchandise that may have had a Heisman Trophy winner, a national championship coach, an All-American basketball player, a baseball player, a track athlete, whatever the case may be, the athlete was not being compensated for their name and their pictures and their silhouettes being used in by the schools.
Wow.
So that a lawsuit was started by Ed O'Bannon, who was on that national championship team. He went and filed a lawsuit. Then it kept going through a number of different things. And then it's gone all the way to the Supreme Court. Congress has gotten involved. you know, the government is getting their hands in it. And then when you start looking at sports betting, that's become a, you know, I would almost call it, it's a craze, but it's also almost becoming detrimental in some instances, where now you have all of this money being made and commercials being done and television naming rights and gems being posted. All these things were generating money for the colleges and the NCAA. College, the conferences, the individual colleges, and the NCAA as a governing body as a whole.
And when did that lawsuit start?
And it started probably about 15 years ago.
Wow.
15, 20 years ago. Yeah, it's been going on for a while.
Some of those athletes are dead.
They're in their 40s, if not in their 50s. It started 3 years after I graduated from college.
Wow.
So when I graduated from college in 1993. So it's been going on for a very, very long time. And then during COVID, is where the year after COVID, so 2022 was the first year, I think if my timeline are right, where the NCAA were athletes were now being able to be paid. Before, you know, if an athlete went, the NCAA was checking everything, what they called impermissible benefits, which turned into recruiting violations. If a college coach recruited me and they sent me $20 and they took me to go eat at Wendy's, and it wasn't within the time frame that the NCAA had approved, the NCAA had a recruiting violation. Now, we're thinking something as crazy as me going to get a double cheeseburger meal at Wendy's and the NCAA losing a scholarship for feeding me or making sure I was able to get home for Christmas and Thanksgiving. And you had a lot of athletes that were basically putting their bodies on the line, obviously for an education. There's a risk and a reward there, obviously. And not really receiving things beyond college. And when you think about the amount of money that gets paid, so as an example, the national championship football team this past year, I'm estimating here, they probably received roughly $15 to $20 million from winning that game, meaning the Ohio State University. The conference, the Big Ten, also received millions of dollars for Ohio State being in a conference and winning. That money gets divided up amongst the participating schools and universities inside the conference. So this was going on for years, and everybody was reaping the benefits. College coaches were making $3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 million a year. Kids would be going to school. If they didn't graduate, they didn't have a job. I'm not saying they didn't have a chance to, but if the coach didn't put the effort into them getting their academic standing together and graduating, they may be floating around here in the winds for 5, 6, 7, 8 years and not have a college degree. But yet the college football coach or the college basketball coach has endorsements with insurance companies and car companies and shoe companies, all the rest of that kind of stuff. So, you know, it became, you know, we're in a capitalist society here in the Western civilization. So they rounded all of that stuff up, and now these young men and these young ladies are now get paid for their services. Because if you think about the cost of a basketball game, even at a football game, to go to a game, it's several hundred dollars to attend the game. It's several thousand dollars to attend the school. And those jobs aren't out there the way they were 30, 40 years ago. We've got several different issues with it. So there's a lot of positives that came out the NIL, but there's also some management issues, so which does create a lot of negatives that came out of the NIL. Because it's, you know, it's going to be very hard to put the genie back in the bottle now that it's come out. And you've got, and a lot of it is just how do they pay and how do they determine who gets paid what? Larger conferences, smaller conferences, larger schools, smaller schools, starter versus a reserve. And that kind of goes back to the value that you're talking about. You know, a person that's playing, that's the 12th man on the team at a Division I school is most likely not going to receive the same amount of money as that starter at that school. And Division I and Division II has different, and Division III and AI have different collectives and different ways that they can earn money. A lot of Division IIs don't provide any kind of funds. If they have it, they fundraise. They've got alumni who've come in and make donations. They've got endowments that they've been able to put money into. But those payments are $1,200, $1,1500 a month, if you're lucky, or sometimes $3,000 a semester, where you've got basketball players that are, you know, a young man, the number one player in the country for college, that's going to Brigham Young University out of Cecil, Jamaica. His initial valuation to go to Brigham Young for 1 year was $7 million is what they were paying him to go to school there. But now, based off of what he has, but, you know, with the different valuations, however they come up with the different valuations, it's right around $5 million. So he's going to be in Provo, Utah for less than a year. And they're going to pay him roughly $5 million to be there. So the value for the school is that all eyes are going to be on that gym when he plays. Somebody's going to pay to be able to broadcast the rights to their games. Somebody's going to, you know, they'll sell more tickets. They'll sell more uniforms. There'll be people that literally go to school, fanboys and fangirls, that literally go to some of these schools just because a particular player is attending said school. So it goes back to marketing, Peter, like you were saying. The person who can market themselves the best and then back it up with the work that they do, their value is going to be higher than what somebody is just there. Not saying that they didn't put in the work, but, you know, there's a difference between going to get fast food and going to Ruth Chris. There's a difference between Payless shoes and Nike shoes. There's just a difference.
And you know what? With all that being said, Peter, knowledge is power. You know, you've heard that statement said an awful lot. And I tell you what, why don't we go ahead and take a quick break, Peter, on the other end. We can go ahead and expand upon the information that Michael presented. You know, that knowledge is power.
Right. So just to embellish on that a little bit, it's the application of the correct knowledge that's really powerful, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Building Fortunes Radio. If you sell a product or service, then you should check out PMMarketingsNetworkLeads.com. Just visit www.networkleads.com. For over 18 years, PM Marketing has helped distributors build their home-based businesses through lead generation, website development, automated email delivery systems, and sales training. If you're looking for a way to increase your skills and increase the number of people that see your product or opportunity, NetworkLeads.com can help. To learn more, visit www.networkleads.com. Ask about their lead management system, capture pages, personalized websites, MLM training, Humongous blogs, the Humongous Classified Ad Network, Building Fortunes Radio, or their webinar schedule. NetworkLeads.com can be your one-stop shop for everything you need. And now, back to our show.
And we are back. Peter Mingles here with Coach Irvin Harris. He's a basketball coach. He does stuff over in New Hampshire. And we've done a lot of radio shows on this. If you go to buildingfortunesradio.com, look for Coach Irvin Harris or Basketball News. You'll find it in both places when you go there, and you'll be able to hear some really great radio shows. This is another one of those specifically. And I'll just mention something, as we also have Michael Mason here. Michael Mason, I don't know what the name of it is, but I think of him like a basketball player's agent. Like, he's the guy that helps them do the things that they need to do. And he's going to clean up what I just said. But the reality is I'm going to bring up a little cliche I learned a long time ago, but it sticks. And it was taught to me by I'll leave that alone. But he said to me one time, you know, not advertising and promoting yourself or your business is a little bit like winking in the dark. And first time I heard that, I had to think, like, what the hell does that mean, Joe? That sounds kind of creepy. Like, are you freaking me out here? What the hell you mean, winking in the dark? And he says, well, when you're winking in the dark, only you know you're doing it. So, again, back to the first question. If you're not advertising and promoting yourself or your business, you're like winking in the dark. No one knows you're doing it. And the services that I know Michael helps with is actually he shines the spotlight on you so you're not winking in the dark all by yourself. So, Michael, back to you.
Yes. So that's, you know, as we were saying in the previous segment, is this, that's kind of what led us to this point. And it's when you already are have a, when it comes to athletics, sports is mirrors life. You know, I think we all can agree with that. And those who participated in it or those who have not participated in it need to understand that it's not all fun and games. There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, there's commitment levels that these young men and women have to go through. And there's dreams. And everybody's dream in this society doesn't come true. It's just like everybody doesn't apply for a job to get the job. Everybody who starts a business, whether it be network marketing, brick and mortar, or whatever the case may be, is not all successful. So there's risk and there's reward. And the lack of knowledge, from a biblical standpoint, it's, you know, people perish because of it. And there are a lot of bad faith actors out here that are in the space of youth sports and youth development, recruiting, coaching, mentorship, that have bad intentions or one side fits all mentality or different things of that nature. So it's very important, as I was saying in the beginning, that you answer the what, where, why, where, and how. All those things have to be and developed in order for the piece of this pie to be received. I mean, for you to be able to even sit at the table. And like I said, we see a lot of professional athletes out here that make an awful lot of money. A lot, there's several of them, not even say a lot of them, several of them do an awful lot of dumb things to put themselves in a lot of trouble. And a lot of people speak bad about, you know, how could you do this or how could you do that? They're just spoiled, pampered athletes. They don't have to work. They don't have to do this. But if you've never stepped in their shoes, you'll never really know the amount of work that goes into it. And the same guidance that people need, and some pay for, some don't. Some people try to wing it. The same mentoring and guidance that people need from a coaching standpoint in their businesses, mentors to help them grow, whether it be, like I said, network marketing or whatever the case may be, type of business that you have, the same services and mentorship that are needed in those areas are the same things that are needed in the sports area, in the sports arena. Because the amount of money that somebody, especially at the Division I level, in these major sports, these kids are walking millionaires. As the example that I use of A.J. DeBond, you know, Cooper Flagg that came out of Maine had a $750,000 endorsement deal with New Balance while he was playing basketball at a Nike school. You know, now that's going to be it's going to be at least 8 figures. Right now that he'll be going as a number one pick in the NBA draft and playing his first professional basketball season. He was only in college for a year.
That's really great. That's a really good story. Excuse me, not to butt in and cut you off, but what I'd like to ask is a question in reference to the prospects as students, you know, in the space that you're working in right now. And, you know, and we know when it, beyond academics, as far as post-grad programs, how it will enhance, you know, the maturity, discipline, and the leadership traits that are vital, you know, both on the court, off the court, and in life. And it's my understanding that a post-grad will provide a focused environment for that skills development, you know, the rigorous training, the increased exposure to the college recruiters and any professional scouts that, you know, may be looking ahead or looking for players. But in particular, you know, the space that you're in is in reference to, you know, helping them to better the situation. And I do know that there are many successful athletes, because you mentioned some, that have leveraged that extra year to define that those skills, to gain that confidence, and even earn some scholarship or roster spots in maybe a bigger or better opportunity than they would have had if they hadn't have gone to the post-grad. Now, just based upon the value that I just mentioned, you know, in talking about beyond academics, how do you answer the question to some of these parents? Because, again, I talked about the years that I have, the many years of coaching at the college level, and I know on the other side of the investment that a lot of these students put into going to school, and, you know, they get their financial aid and they have to pay X amount of money, they get the loans, and, man, when you're done, you got all these loans, and some people are blessed to not have those. Michael, what do you say to these parents that decide that they want to go to one of these schools, and how do you answer the question to them in reference to the investment that they're making when they send their students to a post-grad? Because, I mean, there are some people that have money right up front, and there's some that will look at that, and maybe they really don't understand that, wow, I need to prepare myself and put myself in a position to where I wind up saving more money on the other end just by making this smaller investment than what I have to pay by getting all these loans and graduating. You owe a whole lot of money as opposed to the small investment or the investment that you make up front to get a better deal. So how would you answer that question the parents may ask, and making the deposits, or putting the deposits down initially to go to a post-grad?
Well, I take a business consultant or consultant's approach when dealing with parents. And I believe prescription before diagnosis is malpractice. And it's the same way in the medical field, it's the same way in the business field, it's the same way in the coaching arena or mentorship, or and as far as, like you say, a postgraduate or prep school, it's the same way from JUCO. So the very first thing that I do is I assess what the situation is, because the greatest gift that I'm given as a coach and a person in business or leadership or mentorship is the ability to say no, and not just feel like I am pimping myself out in order to have a kid pay me money to come to learn and be mentored by me. So that's the very first thing that I address. This is not a sense of desperation for me. You know what I mean? And so that comes from just being honest and upfront. And a lot of times and by telling that story, by telling this is what the landscape of the marketplace is. And the marketplace that we're talking about is college. Okay. We're talking about college attendance, college athletics, and being a student athlete. And so explaining to them what all parts involved in preparation for their child to participate at that level. If they have that dream, and they've done their research, then it's a little easier for them to understand the importance of what it is that I do and what happens with other people like me do in the postgraduate space and prep schools. Is because you're usually, as I've mentioned previously in the previous conversation, you're coming to me and being a part of my world and my programs either for academic reasons, academic improvement, maturity, exposure, or getting bigger, physical reason, getting bigger, faster, stronger. Okay. And a lot of these young men and young women who journey into this space, that's where that assessment comes in on from a coaching standpoint and interviewing that family. So I'm selling them, so to speak, by using their own situation and those features and those benefits. So this is your current situation. You're an undersized guard, or you're this, you're this. You come from a small town. You didn't play a lot of high-level basketball in the case of what I do as far as basketball. You didn't have this. You have maturity issues. You've had academic issues. Well, based off of what you're telling me, this is where you're headed. You're telling me this is where you want to go. This is what you're saying, what's important about this situation to you. But again, I have to assess it to say, okay, this is, I believe we can help you do this, but this is what it's going to take. And being completely upfront and honest about those game plans before they say, before I even ask, or, and I don't, you know, you've been on a few of those calls with me, and I actually don't think I've ever asked anybody for money.
No, you haven't.
because I'm in selling this, I can sell the brick and mortar. I can show the brick and mortar. This is where you're going to lay your head. This is where you're going to work out. This is what the academics are. But somebody still has to lead the ship. So they'll never believe that I'm being genuine and honest if they don't see that I care.
Mm-hmm.
And by being honest, that I've knocked the first domino down. You can't sugarcoat things. You have to be willing to fall on your own sword. So I don't spend, you've heard me in these calls, I don't speak in third party. I don't say, oh, this young man, I know a coach did this. No, this is what I've done. These are the things that I've done right, and these are the things that I've done wrong. So in mentoring your child, I'm going to talk this about things academically, socially, financially, academically, all these different things, you know, athletically that I've done, positive and negative. So they have to, so then that particular, in those particular instances, they can see the real person that they're dealing with. Because when they drop their children off to me or their child off to me, that I'm becoming a parent in that situation. So they a lot of times the parents want to know whether they're safe, whether their academics are going to be like, and what they're going to eat. And then you go from there. And then our job on from a coaching standpoint is to have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And not just word salad. I have to have a plan. I have to have a plan that's, one, been proven, that's not so rigid that it can't be modified. A plan that's also that I have a foundational plan. But then I have to be able to formulate a plan for each individual kid. I can't have the same plan for a point guard that I have for a center. I can't have the same plan for a 19-year-old as I have for a 21-year-old. There's different, they're coming in at different levels of expectations. They're coming in at different skill levels, and they're coming in at different, probably most likely academic levels and maturity levels. So you have to have a broad scope. And then instead of me trying to force my square peg into a round hole, you paint the picture by numbers, but they have to see if they fit. And if they don't feel like they fit, and then we can eliminate that very quickly. You've heard me in my conversations literally say, what's important about basketball to you?
Mm-hmm.
Or what's important about you playing college basketball to you? Oh, I just want to do this. I just want to be on television. Then most likely your journey is not going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times these people have not been told the truth. They've been told, hey, you just go out here and average 19 points a game and you know, the coach will come calling you. Kind of what Peter was mentioning. Oh, they'll find you. If you can play, they'll find you. Well, I grew up in West Virginia. There's not many people coming from a big college coming to West Virginia. I had to go out there and market myself using Peter's terminology. I had to go out here and sell myself. My abilities is what got me noticed. My academics is what made them take me serious. And then when I opened up my mouth, I couldn't be the dumbest person in the room. So understanding all those different things at different times and at different places, whether it be number one draft picks, lottery picks that I've coached, or guys that are playing professional basketball, none of them were the same. We wore the same uniform, playing in the same gym, but everybody's journey was going to be different. So personalizing the conversation you know, having an organized presentation or sales script, okay, you can say there's, I'm going to check this box, I'm gonna check, these are things that I'm going to, bullet points I'm going to touch on. But personalizing it is I think, is where my biggest successes have come from. Because I don't think anybody who sends their kid to me doesn't think that I care about their kid. Because I tell them, when you drop your son, you've heard me say this, when you drop your son off to me, your son becomes my son.
Yep.
Because that means I'm ultimately responsible for the things that I'm telling you we're going to do. And when I can literally say, here, you can go to this website and take a look at it. You can go, here goes this and take a look at it. Here goes this and here you can take a look at that. Things, people tend to, their perceptions of you are different because you can literally show them that you're not just talking.
Yes.
Okay. And during those many conversations that we've had with some of these young men, I only talk about basketball probably 15 to 20% of the time. Because yep. Everybody who walks into the gym can play basketball. Maybe not at all the same level, but there are some things that I have expectations that they should be able to do. And if they can't do that, then they're not going to survive. And that's just being honest. That's being honest and open to them, to those people. I'm not overpromise. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to underpromise and overdeliver instead of overpromise and underdeliver. Because the majority of the young men that we speak to have been told a bunch of things that were not true. Or they may have been true at the time when they were 12, but they're not true at the time when they're 18. And then there's always this underlying fact that I did where, and it's not an ego thing, it's a fact thing. If you were everything that you thought you were, then you would not be having this conversation with me to begin with. Number one. So I know that I'm needed. And so because I know that I'm needed and wanted, then I'm in a position to accept those who are going to row the boat with me the same way.
Okay.
Because at the same time, you know, say, you see what I'm saying? So all these things, so by having these conversations, again, which you've heard me have, I'm very direct when it comes to these parents. Because I know as a parent myself, I'm looking at my kid with rose-colored glasses. It's only natural. Oh, he can do this, he can do this, he can do this. Yes, you can do that where you're at. But we're now talking about playing a game that has very little membership to it. And then when you start thinking about that, you can use this game for multiple reasons. Okay. We were talking about the initial money up front. People can pay that money up front, as you were saying, so they don't have to pay it later. You can pay, you know, when you start, and because my mind operates that way from a money standpoint, I can keep the number standpoint. Yeah, you're paying $800 to $1,000 just to be on the team in AAU. And what do you get out of it? Nothing. You buy uniforms, you got extra hotel costs, you have this, you have that. You pay money to go to a trainer. What are you getting out of it? Oh, you got better. Your jump shot may have got better. Your ball handling may have got better. But your GPA is under a 2.5. So being able to check the boxes and paint the picture, okay, and basically asking that question, why? Deconstructing that masterpiece. This is the model that's being used. Now, how do we get here? Mm-hmm. And then asking, okay, well, tell me how you were academically. Oh, you know, I'm 2.2 GPA. Okay, so that tells me that you're not an NCAA Division I qualifier. But yet, I listen to you tell me that you only want to go to a Division I school. Well, let's just go ahead and get that out of the way. You're not a qualifier to go to Division I. So why are we talking about something that you didn't even prepare for before you met me?
Okay.
That's the honest part. You see what I mean? So if you aren't able to get there academically, see, it's a duality to this thing. Okay. A lot of programs, come on in here. If you are a top 50 player in the country, Yeah, you can go to one of those prep schools. You don't need to come see us. You come see us because there's a void somewhere. There's a hole. There's a pothole in your lawn. And it's a major hole. Well, like I said, whether it's academic or it's maturity, whether it's exposure, which is a lot of it, okay, or it's a physical issue. And now, because of back to the original question about from Peter, when the money is involved, when you start looking at when everything is now being exposed to coaches' salaries and NIL and things of that nature, when these coaches can literally go out here and basically hire a mercenary for 1 to 4 years to do a job.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And if I may like you as a basketball player, but if your GPA and your academic standing doesn't get you accepted by the registrar and admissions, then I've built a relationship with you based off of nothingness.
Right.
So what that coach is going to say, well, hey, you need to go to JUCO or you need to go to postgrad, and then we'll take a look at this again. But by the time they circle back, somebody else has already filled the space.
Yes, sure.
Not saying, you know what I'm saying? Not saying that you can't get there, but you either have to continue to maintain what you've done athletically while you actively and intensively improve your academics. If you've done dumb stuff to get yourself in trouble and where you're, you know, being suspended from school or got arrested for truancy or just doing silly stuff that usually out of boredom, then you have a maturity issue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why would I give you $250,000 a year just for you to go do something stupid that's going to come back on me? That's going to come back on your parents.
Not a good idea.
Not a good idea. So now we have to take in our world, in this postgraduate world of sports and with all the reclassing and even junior colleges and prep schools and, heck, even traditional high schools, public or private. If you are dealing with student athletes, you are now in the business of developing the next generation of leaders, coaches, not just athletes, the next generation of they're either walking millionaires or they're minimum wage. They're either upper middle class or they're poor. They're either going to suffer or they're going to do. And if you're not prepared to dive in the middle of all these different swimming pools, the academic pool, the mental performance pool, the recruiting and exposure pool, the player development pool, the leadership pool, the etiquette pool, you know what I'm saying, the fatherhood pool, if you're not willing to be prepared to, you know, sit at that and create a buffet where these kids can eat from that and become well developed, then stay away from it. Like an emperor's new clothes. Yeah,
you're missing a lot of hats. A whole lot.
Yes, Peter, you're constantly changing.
I was wondering, Peter, because I took a few notes, you know, and something I would like to say real quickly. But Peter, based upon what Michael just talked about and presented, do you have anything?
Yeah, a little bit, because I'm new to this whole thing, right? So I'm going to ask a naive question that many people may already know. But at what point does this conversation take place? So here, let's imagine I have I'm a dad. I got a kid. He's really talented, playing basketball, and he's in high school. And when does this conversation happen?
That conversation happens with me when somebody's either referred you to me, or
but like at what stage am I still in 10th grade playing basketball? Am I a graduating senior?
Usually you don't see me or you won't talk to somebody in my space. Well, you could be in 10th grade, okay? Because the way my program, I can go all the way down to elementary school. Okay, I can have classes at my school all the way down to 6th grade. We're not going to do that. Okay, as far as the basketball pro side of this whole thing. So we're operating in the high school space, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and then gap year or postgraduate year. So I can bring a kid leaving middle school going into a traditional high school as a ninth grader, and have him come and participate at the school on the high school side, and get into those things early. So yes, will there be situations where you have younger kids that are coming in that need to be mentored? Well, prime example, we've got a commitment from a kid who is from Senegal. Okay. He's 6'10". He is 185 pounds wet, not 195 pounds wet. And if I put a jacket on him, it may be 195. Okay. But he already is being recruited by, four or five Division I basketball programs. But in the process between his eighth grade and now going into his sophomore year, he's been passed around to two and three different schools. So there's an inconsistency area there. The physical gifts are there. Size, speed, obviously, if he's on a radar of college coaches, that really it's important, but it doesn't, well, you don't know how long those college coaches are going to be around, so I don't put so much stock into it. So my approach with Kadian is obviously basketball. I still have to help develop that aspect, but he's already, by the time he gets ready to go to college, he's literally going to be a walking millionaire.
So do these kids get that money now? Like, you know,
they get that. No, some states allow for high school kids to receive money in name, image, and likeness contracts. Okay. So a high school kid can literally have a licensed agent now. So recently, it was, I guess in the past 2 months, you had a University of Tennessee quarterback, okay, who left University of Tennessee because he asked for more money. He was paid, Nico is his name, from out of Florida. $2.7 million was his NIL deal coming out of Florida going into the University of Tennessee. He wanted $4 million. They said no. Okay. Tennessee paid him $1.1 million of that money before he even graduated from high school. So he was a 17-year-old millionaire before he even took a snap.
With real money, he could buy his mom a house.
With real money, he can buy his mom a house. So yeah, he can do a lot of things depending on where they come from, yes. And the majority of the kids that we deal with, okay, probably only 10 to 15% of them, but let's say 20%. 20% of them are coming from upper middle class families to where they have been exposed to proper education, higher education. I mean, the parents will say, yes, we want to get GPAs, and they know they have to graduate. They know they need to do this. But exposed to that kind of money? No, that kind of money is generational to a lot of these kids.
Well,
if you go into,
I hate to say it, but a lot of these kids probably, you know, $1 million is a lot of money. So, or
$1 million is a lot of money in anybody. Yes.
Yeah. So
yes.
A lot of these people, you're talking about, all of a sudden my son now becomes maybe a source of security for me, income for me. That's a dynamic that could be really convoluted based on the parents themselves, the kids.
So somebody has their hands in it. You know, from a basketball standpoint, okay? From a basketball standpoint, these numbers are very disturbing, okay? I think it is 65% of all NBA basketball players don't last 4 years, okay? And that same 65% is usually broke during that 4 years.
Right.
And that's one of the things that they, one of David Stern's greatest things that he does outside of expanding the NBA and expanding basketball all over the world through the NBA is that he put a thing in place about having approved financial advisors has to manage the first contract of an NBA rookie.
Yeah. And I'm sure not all financial advisors
they're selected.
Can go to confession every week. and you know.
Yeah, those men and women are vetted. And it's not for everybody. Because like I said, you have people out there that'll have you see them doing things, and we hear it all the time. Oh, this professional athlete had $9 million taken, or you know, had $500,000 stolen from him, or they were rerouting money here, rerouting money there. So you have a literacy issue. So that goes back to the mentoring and everything else. And I think we talked about that, what I call the money smart athlete. Because you can't come from nothing, be given almost everything, and then expect not to go through it and not know how to manage it. Because if you don't know how to manage it, then you're going to just go get help from other people. But if you don't know how to vet those other people, and if you haven't had anybody teaching you how to check the checker, you know, you sometimes when you start talking about some of the money that some of these young men and women can be making or are making, you know, you have to have an advisor that's checking your advisor. Such as I got an accountant that's checking my accountant because there's a risk that I can lose it all in 1 second. I can turn an ankle, I can blow a knee, I can get hit with an elbow, I can fall wrong, I can rupture. Anything can happen in that battlefield of sports. So the risk, the investments in prep schools and boarding schools and postgraduate is not only financial, although the umbrella is definitely financial, but all these little things that we have to figure out along the way. Again, is it an academic issue? Is it a financial issue? Is it a maturity issue? Is it an exposure issue? If it's an exposure issue, I'll take those are almost the easiest ones. Because along with some of the mentorship that goes along with it, you're uncovering things, and these kids become emotionally nude in front of you. You're literally having to deal with loss of family, kids being dropped off by parents who have no idea. You know, they know that they can play basketball. They know that they can do these different things, but they don't even know how to communicate with the kid. They don't know how to raise this young man or this young woman to help be these different things. And that's the challenge. And that's also where the grid for war comes from. It's a beautiful thing when you watch that young man grow. And from a postgraduate side, yeah, like I said, I always use the term, it's a microwave situation. Because I usually only have these kids for 9 to 10 months. And in 9 to 10 months, I have to basically strip them down and rebuild them. Like for us old folks, all three of us on this call, we remember the $6 million man. We remember Steve Majors. We can rebuild him. Well, I don't want a aircraft or a plane or a shuttle to explode in order for me to have to rebuild you. But unfortunately, that's usually the way it has to go. I have to look at this, build this relationship with this young man, hopefully. And again, until they trust you, you'll never get the honesty. You'll never get the honesty.
Yep.
They'll never become emotionally vulnerable to you. And a lot of these things could be a male-to-male issue, could be male-to-female, it can be a lot of these different things. And these are just types of things that you have to uncover. And that's why when I built my program and continue to build and, you know, read and react to the things that are going on and add and subtract things that are necessary, or if I don't know how to do it myself, make it available by partnering with people like Irv or partnering with other people on the outside to make it available, because there's things that you can't, I can do a lot of things, but I can't do everything. You know what I mean? And that's where you're being honest and open with these families comes into handy, and where everybody's not going to come in at the same price. We've got a whole roster full of kids that'll be coming there, and very few of them are paying the same thing, because everybody's needs are going to be different. And also everybody's ability is going to be different. So
when you say coming in, what do you mean by coming in? Do they go to your school, or is it something?
No, those kids will come live with me. on that campus, and they will go to school. They will work out in the gym. They will lift weights. They'll get their basketball games together. They will eat three meals a day, prepared by a chef. 7 days a week is all. It's the weekends. It's two meals a day, but Monday through Friday, they eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner at a time. And the program is run as if they are going to a 4-year college. They will practice in the morning. They will go to class. They will come out of practice, go to strength and conditioning, or go to practice. They will have study hall. They will have their access to tutoring. They will take concurrent college. They will take college courses while they're there with us. Once those details finish getting lashed out. So we're not, when they leave me, when they leave Bush Academy, okay, that I should have a young man that a college basketball coach says, okay, he's this position, he can play, I watched the tape, that check that box. He's academically eligible to participate at this, whatever that level is. Yes, he has taken college courses, so I know he can do the work. Because if he's doing high school curriculum and taking college courses at the same time, those boxes are checked. He understands, he's gone through some financial literacy. So if I do present him with $50,000 a year, that he has some concept of how to spend that money. If we do sit up and say that we're going to take team pictures, I don't have to worry about him not knowing how to tie a single wind or not. That I don't have to worry about him not knowing how to iron a shirt. Or he knows how to open a door for someone and yes, ma'am, and no, sir. He knows how to keep himself body kept. All those different things are all part of the mentorship. So, yes, when I say those kids come to me, they live with me 7 days a week for 10 months.
And Michael, I like that you provided all that information. And Peter, we started this show off talking about the purpose of value. And at this point, is there anything that you'd like to say really quick, Peter? Because like I said, I took some notes here and I can go ahead and wrap this up with, something that I'd like to say over the course of this show, and then a little other information that I've was able to ascertain, throughout this experience. So, do you have anything, Peter?
No. This is, first of all great information. New for me hearing the very first time. There might be some other people that are a lot more knowledgeable than me, but I bet you a pretty big portion of our listening audience doesn't even know this stuff is available. So, thank you, Michael, and we're going to get all your contact information. Okay. We'll make sure we put this in the show notes as well. So, go ahead, Irvin.
Okay. Okay, well, what I'd like to say, and this is for our listening audience, and this is in reference to the information that Michael has provided, and what I'd like to say to everybody, they need to remember that this isn't just about basketball. What it's about is about positioning yourself for a brighter future, academically, athletically, and personally. So what I'd like to say to the audience, if you're ready to unlock your potential, and make that strategic move that can change your life, based upon what I heard from Michael, they should really consider taking advantage of preparing themselves and even moving into that postgraduate preparation year. And what they have to do that is they have to align themselves with the right school that has the right system and the right support that's going to help them to turn their dreams into reality. And I would also like to thank everybody for tuning in. This is Coach Irvin Harris on the basketballcoach.news. That's the website. And I believe in your potential. So I would like to end this with a statement and a comment to everybody. I believe in your potential, so now go chase it.
All good stuff. So, Coach, make sure you send me Michael Mason's contact information, because I'm sure there's some people here that want to kind of take it to the next level and learn more, implement this sort of stuff, because they care about their kids. And if I've ever seen a more dangerous situation in advance is giving a young boy a lot of money, because yes. Pretty soon you're going to have a disaster, predictably. No surprises. So it's scary. And then, it's scary all the way along. Could be great. Could be the greatest thing that ever happened to a family in a generation, or the worst, and probably a combination of both. So,
yes.
Michael, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
By cell phone, 304-380-2477. That's my mobile number, so West Virginia number, so don't nobody laugh at the West Virginia thing. or you can reach me via email at mmason@bushaceacademy.org. Again, it's mmason@bushaceacademy.org.
And are there many Bush Academies, or is there one?
It's only one Bush Academy. Yeah, only one Bush Academy. But there are several postgraduate programs out there. Some do little, some do a lot, some do everything in between. So I'm not the only game in town. For a better term. Well, I mean, the only game in town, meaning nationwide. The area that we are in the Northeast is I'm not gonna say saturated. There's, I think it's 55 or 60 different boarding schools that it classifies under. In the New England states. We've got kids coming from as far as, like I said, France, Poland, China, Senegal, Nigeria, Connecticut, Delaware, Russia. and it's also, if you have a kid that plays hockey. There's a hockey program there that does some of these same things. Not as, you know, stuff that I'll be working on with them to implement stuff as well for their students. But everything I was talking about is just based off the basketball program.
This is fascinating. So, Michael Mason, I'm sure we're going to have you come back because we have other things to talk to you about as well. Coach Irvin Harris, thanks for bringing together basketballcoach.news. And Coach Irvin, I'll let you wrap it up.
Well, that was my wrap up. You know, people need to turn those dreams into reality. And we started the show off talking about value. And as you stated, you know, Michael Mason, I'm sure we'll have him back in the future to provide more information in reference to value that can be brought into people's lives who decide to chase it.
Excellent. So we're going to catch everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio. Thanks, everyone. We'll speak to you next time. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.